So, Bunty, several years ago, I underwent an abortion. And although I've since grown and improved as a person, the burden of my past decision still lingers, accompanied by the fear of potential consequences. Strangely, I don't mind this lingering guilt, as it serves as a constant reminder of my past mistakes and my commitment to not repeat them. I hold the belief that abortion is wrong, even though I am uncertain about the consciousness of the baby slash fetus at that particular point. My guilt stems from knowing that I might have destroyed a life. Do you think my feelings of shame and guilt are justified? I believe they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good that the person is not denying them, and it's actually using them as a context to not make the same mistake. Yeah, definitely. As for the consequences, well, yeah, consequences of taking life have to be experienced at some point. Now, how much those karmic consequences would be experienced? Well, you can see from the suttas that if somebody, say, has taken human life and then afterwards they made a tremendous effort and developed their mind, freed the mind from greed, aversion, delusion, or at least partially, those consequences would diminish. In other words, the consequences that they will have to experience would be fairly minuscule in comparison to what they would have experienced if their mind were not rightly developed. And when I say rightly developed, I don't mean you go and sit on a 10-day nostril watching retreat. I mean you fully start accepting responsibility for your actions, training your mind to remain unmoved in face of hindrances, not fueling greed, not fueling aversion, not fueling the wrong views. So getting the right view is your kind of safety card. If you can become a sotapanna, it should be your, basically your efforts should aim at that, or more, even better, but at least that, because it's said that the sotapanna cannot be reborn lower than a human realm, regardless of the actions and consequences that are waiting for them from they did before.
What I like about this question, where this person seems to be, is he's keeping, or not trying to find, is the baby, was the baby, did it have consciousness at the point of abortion, or did it not? When does the consciousness arrive?
It's
Then
kind of irrelevant, isn't
she's
it?
not trying to get rid of her guilt. She's actually finding value in it. And it's
Well,
not.
she's recognizing that regardless of the answer that you might get, depending on whom you ask, basically, from her point of view, from her individual point of view, what comes first is the guilt and the always lingering doubt that it could have been a life that you have taken. So doesn't matter what science or religion gives you as an answer. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. The fact is, that act in and of itself, from her point of view, will always remain doubtful, because you cannot verify. Like scientifically, if somebody tells you no, there isn't, well, it's a presupposition basically. No, it's not conscious. Somebody said no, fetus is conscious. Again, that they can't verify that either. But the fact that it could be is more than enough for you to recognize that actually, yeah, so killing it should not have been done in that sense. So even if fetus is unconscious, it's still a human fetus. So from its point of conception to the point of death, it's a human entity in that sense, at different stages. You can say it's a clump of cells, yes, but it's a clump of cells of a very different value. It's a clump of cells from which all the other cells develop. So it's not the same to say, you know, my nails are a clump of cells. Yeah, now. And the fetus is a clump of cells. They're of a very different order, for very different potential. So even if fetus is completely not conscious, it's still a human fetus. It's not a squirrel fetus. And that can never change. And that's what I mean. Regardless of what answer you might find, fundamentally, that's something you cannot deny. And because of that, if you are honest, you will experience guilt if that's the action that you did. And you can't undo it. So people would say, oh, you're going to make merit, and yeah, that's all good, that's all fine. But merit will result in good consequences later on, but that has nothing to do with the bad stuff. It can't offset that. It can just add more of good things that you experience, sure. But what can actually offset your bad actions, including killing and so on, even if you did it out of ignorance and like not premeditated murder type of thing, but still, is if you develop your mind towards Nibbana rightly. If you abandon the wrong views, if you overcome sensuality, factually, as the Buddha did say to Angulimala, like the consequences he was experiencing while he was still alive and people throwing stones at him and so on, he says, oh, bear it, Brahmin, that's all of the consequences that are left for you. Although, you know, he killed so many people before, if he were not to become an arahant, he would have been burning in hells for eons and eons. So there were still consequences of his actions, but they couldn't pass that immediate level while this body was still present. That's it. That was the extent of them.
So it's like the doing other good actions to try and offset the bad that you've done in the past doesn't really work, as you're saying. It's the uprooting of the thing that made you do that wrong.
Exactly. That's the
really
point.
Makes
yeah.
The difference.
Yeah. So what were the roots? What are the roots of any unwholesome action? Killing, lying, cheating, stealing, all these precepts that we talk about, what is a common thread to all of them? If you abandon that, if your practice aims at uprooting those roots of those actions, then even things that you did in the past will not actually pertain to you anymore. And those roots are basically what we talk about. Desire, ill will, inauthenticity, lack of self-transparency, lack of taking up responsibility. So if you actually, from then onwards, start practicing towards abandoning desire, towards restraining desire, towards not proliferating desire, abandoning acting out of ill will, not giving in to kind of acts that would distract you from yourself, in a sense of bearing the responsibility, the weight of your existence, and all of that, you are actually uncovering and getting closer to like what the true practice of Dhamma is, and that in and of itself is developing your mind. So then even any consequences that might be waiting for you, if your mind is truly developed through first accepting the weight of your actions, as we often say, the weight of responsibility every day, not once so it goes away. Whenever it comes back, I'm there waiting for it. That cannot change. And anything I do will not be rooted in trying to get rid of it, because that means I don't want responsibility for something I factually did. So that's what I mean. Like if somebody already has that attitude, that they're using that practically to keep their context, that's extremely good. Now, on top of that, I don't know what their understanding of Dhamma is, but yeah, sure, make merit, be generous, help others, but really focus on uprooting the desire, uprooting the conceit, uprooting the craving, greed, aversion, delusion, and then you won't have to worry even about... Because who knows, we all might have done even worse things in our previous life that still haven't been experienced yet. And that the consequences of those things are waiting for us. So even if you haven't performed an abortion, had an abortion performed in this life or anything like that, you might have done other things, worse things beforehand, and those consequences are waiting for you. So you shouldn't feel safe for as long as you're in samsara, basically. That's what I'm saying. Because many people can accept and come to terms with what they did, but then what do you do next? Do you just go back to life and sensuality and proliferation and sexual intercourses and everything else? Or do you, no, I'll carry on this now and uproot this desire even further. So then the consequences of my actions now that I can remember, and even more that I probably can't remember, cannot touch me. So in other words, use it not just to temporarily deal with this specific thing from the past that you felt guilty or shameful, but accept it, use it, and then aim it at the whole samsara, basically. Abandon the whole thing. Because that's the only true safety. Because factually, there are consequences of your actions. Whether you accept it, come to terms with it, that's fine. That can obviously help your well-being here and now. But that does not change the fact that you killed, and the consequences will have to be experienced. So it's useful to not forget that as well.